Today's daf in Masechet Chulin, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is daf Kuf Chaf. And we are, I'd like to begin just to remind you, we're in the middle of a machlokas between Reish Lakish and Reb Yochanan, the Gabi the Din of Yad. So yesterday we saw that according to Reish Lakish, only an Etzem is strong enough to be considered a Yad, but a Sa'ara is not strong enough to be considered a Yad, and therefore it's not going to help. So the issues that we kept coming up with, and we're going to end up explaining them in like three completely different orders, but it's all the same simple sugya. And the question was, we had the braita about one hair that was coming along, a sara kenegda, which we took for granted meant one hair that was kenegda, a piece of meat that was on the other side of the ur. And apparently that was, yes, serving as a yad. So that was the question. Was that a yad? Was that a shomer? And also the other issue that was involved in there was whether maybe it was matted hair. And then matted hair, it's possible that one hair in a whole mat of hair is considered to be a shomer, is considered to be a yad. And we went back and forth on that issue, whether we're talking about a mat, or we're talking about a hair, or we're talking about a shomer, or we're talking about a yad, or we're talking about, if we're talking about a shomer, wouldn't it be a shomer al gabe shomer? And we answered no, because the hair goes all the way through the skin, and that raised the question of how do you ever have kosher tefillin, because it wouldn't be ketivat tama, and that brought up the issue of no, you do have ketivat tama, because the ink is sticky enough to go over the hole, and therefore it's not considered to be a hole. And then we had the other question of the issue of whether a piece of wheat, which has on it those little hairs at the top of the wheat, whether those hairs would be considered to be a yad, and only if they were obviously together. That was called malai ben amalai. These were the issues, and that's all that we discussed. We just kept going back and forth with them. According to one version, it was Reish Lakish who was answering malai ben amalai. According to another, it was Reish Yochanan who was bringing a raya and was explaining. But it's basically the same actual issues over and over again. And so we've got one more time to go through it. And we're on the last three words of Amud Beis, which gives us yet another version of the interaction between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. But as I say, the elements and the issues remain the same. So Ika de Masna, and also some actually talk about a raya from Machlokas, rather, in terms of our Mishnah itself. Remember, our Mishnah spoke about Ha'or, Varota, Vakipa, and so on, our mitstarfim to the Bimetami Tumas Oichlin. And what we were talking about over there, Tiny Reish Lakish, this is only true. Now, in this version, Reish Lakish, instead of sorry, Reish Lakish, instead of arguing with Rabbi Yochanan about Yad, is arguing about Shomer. And in this version, Reish Lakish is saying an Etzem can be a Shomer, but a Nima cannot be a Shomer. And it's not considered to actually be a real Shomer because we assume it's Shomer Agabi Shomer. And we already learned that Shomer Agabi Shomer is not considered to be a Shomer. And that was this version, Reish Lakish. Nima lo havi Shomer, it says it is a Shomer. And of course, the time immediately is, Reish Lakish says to Rabbi Yochanan, how could there be a shomer agabi shomer? And Rabbi Yochanan in this version says it's the hair that goes straight through. And of course, we get that immediately too. If the hair goes straight through the skin, then that would mean that your tefillin aren't kosher. Elamiata tefillin echikatvina, habayinun ketiva tama valeka, which we've already learned two times. And the answer, which we've already had two times, ishtamit tehodi amri b'marava, kol nekev shadyo over alav eno nekev. So it's not considered to be a hole in the parchment because it is not large enough to make any difference for the ink, the thick ink that we use to be writing our parshiot. And in this version, we also have Rabbi Yochanan now bringing a raya to Reish Lakish from the same Mishnah that we're going to be having next week that we've had already talked about so many times, the Or Sheyesh Alav Kizayit Basar Megebet Tziva Yotzei Mimenu, or if he touches a hair that's sticking out opposite that meat, it's Tamei, and says Rabbi Yochanan, I mean, isn't it obvious that it's Tomei because it's a Shomer? And in this version, it's Rish Lakish. It says, no, it's actually a Yad, even though it was Rish Lakish in the previous versions that was saying you can't have a Yad if it's a Sara. And Rabbi Yochanan is the one who says, what a Yad? What kid is a single hair for a Yad? And again, in this version, it's Rish Lakish who answers that we're talking about matted hair. Kidiyama Rabbi Loi. Rabbi Loi said this about wheat. And of course, we're going to ask, where did Rabbi Loi say this? We're going to learn where Rabbi Loi said it for the third time. So Kidiyama Rabbi Loi b'malai shebenam la'im. And here too, we're talking about a hair. Nima shebenanimim. And, of course, we ask, where did Rabbi Loi ever say that? And for the third time, we discover where Rabbi Loi said that. Ve'hecha itman de Rabbi Loi ad etznan. So we add the Mishnah that it says, Hamalai shebishibolim, and these are talking about those little hairs that are on the actual grain in which when it grows, they're very, very delicate and very, very loose. They are mitamin o mitamim. Nonetheless, they serve as a yad. They're not mitstarfim because they're not a shomer, but a yad can be mitame, bring tuma, and mitame. And it could also be mitame, something else, conduct tuma through it. And of course, we asked over there, malai, lamai chazir, what those little hairs, they're not useful for anything. And Rabbi Loi was the one who said, b'malai shebeinam la'im. And here too, we're talking about the situation of sa'ar between the other sa'arot. Okay, those are the three different versions of the machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish. What is the shiur, according to some of the versions, what is the shiur of a yad in terms of its strength, and would it include even a sara? Or according to another version, what is the usefulness of a sara if it would be a shomer agabi shomer? And that was what the machlokas is. Excellent. Okay, now we can finally get back to the Mishnah. So we were talking about all of the various things that are mitzaref and are considered to be also, therefore, shomrim, and give you the shear of a kibetza. And we're going to go through them just to make sure we understand what we're talking about. Because when the Mishnah mentions gravy, what exactly do we mean by rotav? So Rava says, well, you know, no, rotav, it's that fat that you find on the top of the meat. And I'm going to buy it. That's not going to be metame because it's a shomer. That's food. You eat that. It's going to be mekabel tuma itself. So why are we talking about that as an adjunct, either as a yad or a shomer? It's neither. It's plain old-fashioned food. So what we're really talking about is apparently chelev de karish. So we have this very thick chelev, which when it settles, it looks almost like plastic. And that is something that is never eaten on its own. It's not considered to be a foodstuff. And it is, however, mitzaref with the meat. So it's a chelev to korish. Why did you have to say that it was korish? I mean, it turned into plastic. I mean, even if it were still not a solid because it was very, very hot, would that matter? I mean, basically, it's the same inedible on its own thick material. So what's the difference whether it's a solid or a liquid? Because after all, kilo korish nami, we know that we learned from Rish Lakish that where you have a liquid form or a liquid exuding of an organism, let's say a vegetable that has in it, obviously, its juices and so on. So it's like a sap. And if that comes out of your vegetable and it's on top of your vegetable, so then it's mitzaref l'kekotevet b'yom HaKippurim. Remember that the shiur of achila to be chayav on Yom Kippur is neither a kesayit nor a kebetza. It is what is called a kotevet. And a kotevet is a date. It's just a very large one. And why do we have this strange shear for Yom Kippur? Well, we're going to see in a moment why. But that is the shear. And Rish Lakish says that on Yom Kippur, you would add the tzir to the actual shear because it is considered to be achila. And now, apparently, it makes no difference whether it's something that is liquid or solid. Nonetheless, it's kotevet. Kotevet is the shear of eating on Yom Kippur. So apparently it's still called food, even though it's a liquid. Now, normally, here's the issue. Normally, we have a general klal, which is today hiding between a white G and a red background, but which we assume actually has neurons and stuff behind it. Now, hiding behind that, well, looky, looky. If it isn't a boy who needs a boost. Okay, so there was a rule that anything ushir is not shoveh, is not mitztarev. Two things that have different amounts that are mechayev you are not going to be able to be joined together into one chiyuv. Okay, eating is always defined by, normally, by a kezayit. And drinking is always defined by a revi'it, and never the twain shall meet. So how exactly would we consider this tzir to be part of the kotevet unless the tzir itself is seen as food? Because otherwise, how could you combine eating and drinking? No. There's a very serious difference. You cannot bring a raya from Yom Kippur, because the din of Yom Kippur is not a shiur in the normal halachas of achila. It is a shiur in Yishuv Hadat. Remember, the Torah never said fast on Yom Kippur. The Torah is said to be me'aneh et nafshotechem. So that means you have to feel a sense of being me'uneh, being afflicted. And that means that the thing which will counteract that sense of affliction is dafka, something that is miyashev your das, and it makes you feel satisfied. And anything that has that satisfaction out there, we get that completely sheer, different sheer, which is, what is the sheer of satisfaction? A sheer of the kotevet. And there it doesn't matter what format the food is in, because it serves the same function. So there, in hachinami, it would be all considered the same thing. But over here, we're looking at tziruf. And if it is a food and not a drink, then it can be mitzaref. So ikarish, at that point, it's a foodstuff. Then it's mitzaref with food. But ilo karish, it's considered to be a mashke. And if it's a mashke, then it requires a shear of a revi'it. So how could it be mitzaref with the shear of a kezayit for the achila? Next case was the kippah. So what exactly do we mean by the kippah? Now, remember that the kippah we were talking about until now was kippah in the context of the dinim of achilas iser, where something is not kosher meat or something, and we were talking about the chiyuv then. So there, Rashi's pshat always was dak dak shel basar v'tavlin. That's mitztaref. It's the sediment at the bottom of the pot. So in that case, it's true that we don't have to worry about the details, but over here we're talking about the question of it being mitzarif it to the shear of bosom, and therefore we're asking, what precisely do you mean that requires tziruf? Because the normal kippah that we talk about is a dinin achila. So here you're talking about a dinin tziruf. Well, why would that be? My kippah, Omar Rabbah, it's the firma. So the firma is the residue. That meat, there's always this residue, thick residue at the bottom of the pot. So Abaya says, well, that's a great soul food. I mean, why does it have to be mitztaref to food? Why isn't that straight out food? Hu atzmo yitameh tumatuchlin. El amar of Papa, it's actually the fallout from the spices that you wouldn't eat on their own, but when they're there with the food, so then you would certainly eat it together with the food. So that is considered to be mitztarev, but not in and of itself sufficient to make its own shear. Now, question is, the liquefaction of solid foods or the solidification of a liquid food. Now, what happens then? Does it turn into a mashke if it's liquefied, or is it still considered to be food, just blended food? And what about vice versa? If you cook something up that is normally liquid, does it become a solid in terms of a different shear? And we've got a lot of different cases like this. And then the question is, what exactly would be the chiyuv on the eating or drinking of such things, forget about the shear. There's also the question of, is this normal? So when the Torah assers something like blood, I mean, is it assering solidified blood or is it only assering liquid blood? If it's assering fat, would it asser liquefied fat that was heated? And so how exactly do we understand the relationship of the liquid to the solid? That's the question. So it's non-hasam. So basically, this entire idea begins, this is actually not a Mishnah, begins with, I guess I should say, Tanya, Hikvayet Adam, if you actually made blood solid, and then you ate it, so you heated it up until it solidified, and you ate it, what would be the thing? Or let's say you took chelev, you heated up the chelev, and you melted it, and then you swallow it like a drink. Well, you would be chayev, and it's not considered to be a non-normative achila, which is therefore, since it's not derech achila, would not be mechayev you. This is considered to be achila. Now, how do we know this? So, bishlami hikpat adam v'achalot. I know how we know it when it comes to solidifying blood. Because over there, you had to do something to solidify that blood. So you could say, but it's not normal to eat things that way. Yes, but remember that if you yourself were machshevit and you went to the trouble of turning it into this new kind of way, since the way that the Torah spoke about blood was never about drinking, it was never addressed to vampires. It was only addressed to kol chelev v'chol dam lo tochel. It was always spoken about in terms of eating. So you'd never tell a vampire, don't eat blood. That's ridiculous. But if we're talking to people and we tell them, don't eat blood, so then obviously, if in your mind this is the way you eat blood, there's not going to be anything that violates the conditions for the achila, because this is achila. The most you could say, well, most people don't eat this way. Okay, well, you cooked it, so you're not most people. So, okay, the Torah spoke about eating and you're eating. So that's fine. But what about the thing about liquefying chelev? I mean, the Torah didn't say anything about don't drink chelev, is it don't eat chelev? So what about that? Since do we say achila ktivape, and therefore this is not eating, it says eating and you're not eating. So where do you have the extension in the pasuk that tells us that if you eat a liquefied food, that you would nonetheless be chayev on it as eating? So how would that be? Omer Reish Lakish, that's because of an extra word in the pasuk. The pasuk insisted that it was a nefesh. So kol ochel chelav v'nichrata, instead of saying v'nichrata ha'ochel, it says v'nichrata ha'nefesh ha'ochelet. The point of saying the nefesh ha'ochelet is to say that the issue is you fulfilled your desire. You gave, that's similar to the Yom Kippur element where it says yinitem nafshotechem. So therefore, if you're happy with this, so then this would be the achila v'nefesh to include even drinking something that is normally eaten as a salad.
It's the true soul food. It's nefesh food.
How do you like that? That's right. Right. Excellent. It's true. Excellent. It's really true. That's what they're focusing on. That gives you a special sense of fulfillment. And instead of eating like a connoisseur, these tiny little portions that they charge you triple for, instead, why not eat like a slob and enjoy yourself? All right. Anyway, Tanya Nami Gabe Chametzki Hagam. Now we have the same type of limud when it comes to eating chametz bePesach, because we have a braisa there that says, if you were himchohu gma'o, so you dissolved chametz in water and you drink it, assuming it was chametz, so then you'd be chay, of course. And if it was matzah, you will not be yotzei the chiyuv of achilas matzah. Now, if it's matzah, I understand why you're not going to be yotzei achilas matzah, because the Torah spoke about lechem oni. Now, by no stretch of the imagination is this going to be called lechem oni. Whoever saw anybody eating like that? But I don't know, how do you know that if it's chametz, even though you are drinking it, that it is still called chametz and is b'chayiv you for the achila? The Torah wrote achila, it didn't write kol ochel chametz, actually. So kol ochel chametz is chayiv. It doesn't say consuming chametz. Omer Rish Lakish, because it says nefesh there too. Okay, how about nevela? We have the same idea by, where is nevela? Nogea, well, it was Nogea, the din of Tumas, Nivlas of Tahar. So remember that a Nivlas of Tahar is only metame as you are swallowing it. And we have the same brita over there. If you went ahead and you melted this oaf, so that now you're basically eating the, what do they call the in Yiddish, parnea, the fats of the chicken that everybody else eats.
Pachah?
No.
No, that's
ribbonus.
Ribbonus. Okay, there's, a, yeah. But, yeah, so if you do that, it's still, even though it's a liquid and you swallow it, you become tummy. But if you let it actually melt down by leaving it out in the sun, then it's not considered to be eating and you're not going to become tummy. So we talked about the Braita. And the first question that we asked in the Braita, how could you be mitame by swallowing the liquid of an nevela of tahar if the Torah said specifically, the chol nefesh asher tochal nevela? And here you're saying, you drank it. Omer Reish Lakish, that's the point. Kol nefesh, nefesh asher tochal nevela. So for you, it's a soul food, and that's enough to be b'chayiv you. Lirabot et hashoteh too. Wait a minute, so then what's wrong with melting it down in the sun? You said it has to be. I mean, it doesn't say that in the pasuk. Because if you let it melt in the sun, it's going to be actually rotten. And you are not chayiv or tameh on a rotted nevela. So it's a seruchei misrach for sure. Okay, mitzrich. Now, it turns out we have three different cases of nefesh, and it's always the same din. So why do we need it in these three different cases of chelev and of nevela and on chamesh? Give me one example, and I'll learn from there that liquefying something is not considered to be a violation of the rule of achila. I mean, what, every single time we're going to need another pasuk? Says the Gemara, indeed we will, mitzrich. Let's say the Torah would have said chelev. I would say chelev, maybe chelev, you're chayev, but not chametz. Chametz lo hatimine, because chelev is much more chamur. Chelev has been chelev from the day it was formed in the womb. So it never had a shat a kosher. But what I remember is this piece of bread was completely kosher yesterday, and I saw even the rabbi sitting and eating that bread. How come now it's not kosher? So obviously, something which has never been kosher is more likely to have a broader definition of what the Isra of Achila is, and therefore maybe only the Chelev is actually Usr, but Chametz, that's not as Chomer. Okay, so I can't learn out the chametz from it. And I couldn't learn out nevela from it, because I'd say, well, nevela, I mean, look, chelev is very chomor, you're chayev kares, you're not chayev kares on nevela, you're only chayev elav. I couldn't have used that argument, obviously, for chametz, because you are chayev of chametz, but it, I can't learn either of them. Let's say the Torah would have said chametz. I would have said, well, I obviously can't learn chelev, because, look, chelev is really not a normal iser. I mean, there's places where chelev is completely kosher. And it would be chametz. I don't know anybody who's allowed to eat chametz on Pesach. So chelev wouldn't be learnable from chametz, because it was, the chametz was lohut or michlala. And I couldn't learn nevela from it, because obviously chametz is a chi of karis and nevela isn't. And if it would have, and we're going to talk about in a moment what we mean hutter b'chlola, but first let's just get all three. If the Torah would have told me nevela, I wouldn't have been able to learn anything else out of it, because nevela has a very special chumrah in that you can become tummy from it. You can become tummy from eating chametz or chelev. All right. I see that you can't learn one out of one, but can we put two together and make a ma'atzad out of it? So why not they say chodemitarte? Okay, go ahead. Which one do you want to leave out? All right, let's leave out nevela. Lo lichtov rachman nevela, and let's put the other two together. No. There's an obvious common denominator that precludes that. Both of them are chiyuv of kares. So that's for sure off the table. Okay. Let the Torah not light chametz. And then we should be able, from combining the vela, which is not kares, with chalev, then we should be able to learn it out. No, because neither of them, neither chalev nor nevela, ever had a shas heter. The nevela, you can't, well, the animal was alive, you could eat it then. That's not a shas heter of nevela. The iser nevela never had a shas heter. So that's no good. All right. Let's leave out chalev and learn it out from the other two. No, because chalev is much more kal. There's places where chalev is actually kosher. What do you mean when you keep saying that? Where is chalev kosher? My new, do you mean chalev that we put on the mizbeach? Is that what you mean? I mean, I could say the same thing about a nevela. A nevela is also kosher for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You know, you do malika of an oaf. And when you do malika of an oaf, it's a nevela. I mean, you didn't do any shechita on it. And nonetheless, it's kosher than a mizbeach. Ah, I know what you mean. You mean chalev of a chaya to just me and you. Lehedyot, that means that it is not as chomer. But I could still tell you, don't kohanim get to eat an chatas ha'of? And wasn't the chatas ha'of huksher al yedei malika? And isn't malika a nevela? Well, so nevela namish, teroi malika the chatas ha'of for kohanim. And kohanim are not considered to be hagdish. No, I'll tell you. They are, in a sense. Because the truth is, we're talking about the fact that a chaya is kosher, its chelev is kosher for me and you. But you ask, but what about nevela? Is also kosher for paneya? So the kakash l'chakohanim, yes, but the kohanim are actually eating something that belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because mishulchan gavoa kazachu, and because of that, it's not really theirs that they're eating. They're eating from the mizbeach, so to speak. And because of that, since it's mishulchan gavoa, you can't bring a raya to just hedyot. So therefore, if I had nefesh in any one or in any two of the three possibilities, chelev, chometz, and nevela, I would not have been able to learn the other out of it. So now I need to know them. Okay, but there's lots of other things. I mean, that's also gone. What are we going to do with them? How about Akiva Lev mute, sweetheart? Vahada Tanya, Hatemeim. So what is that extra hay? I mean, the Torah is talking about the Isser of Shrotzim that are Tmeim. And instead of saying Tmeim Lachem, it says Hatemeim Lachem. Ela Hatemeim Lachem. Now, Hatemeim is sort of like, whoa, it's looking at this whole entity. And therefore, it is including additional elements. So let's say you have Tzir, Rotav, Kippa, whatever. Now, Tzir is liquid, and Rotav is liquid. You're telling me that the liquid of these Shrotzim are considered to be food. Why couldn't we learn that out from the combination of all three, from the combination of nevela and chometz and chalef? Couldn't we learn that out, Mihane? No, I even need this one. Why is that? Because let's say the Torah had not mentioned the din of shrotzim. You're right. I certainly could have learned it out from the other three with a three-way matzah, but I would have been stuck with Dayo. Hava Amino, Dayo Lavo Min Hadin Liyot Kinidon. What's the amount that is able to be Mechayev you of Chalev, Chometz, and Nevela? Tell me, please. The Shear is specifically a Kizayit. And if you don't eat a Kizayit, and it doesn't matter whether the Kizayit is the Shear of the liquefied form or the solid natural form. Because when we've extended the chiyuv, all we've done is said, consume this how you wish. Consume it in liquid form or consume it in solid form. But what you are doing is eating. And since what you're doing is eating, it's an extension of the shear of kizayit and not of a revius. And as we said before, It's good old Archimedes that tells us how do we get a kazayit of a liquid. And it's very simple, as Rashi explained. Take a kazayit, put it into a filled cup with water, and then whatever comes out, that is the shear of the kazayit. Exactly. So over here, you put that kazayit into your liquefied chelev, and then you're eating it. Okay, in any event. So I would say, well, if the source of shrotzen, being chayiv for eating, is dafka, chametz, nevela, and chelev, there is still a common denominator. They're all, well, I should say, it's not because of the common denominator, it's just that they were all actually only be chayiv, a kezayit, on the consumption in whatever form you're going to do it. So if that would be true, you would have to say that liquefied shrotzim would only be chayiv on a kezayit, which is not true. Because when it comes to shrotzim, we learn out from our French love of snails that the first shear that you have of a Frenchy snail is an actual adasha, which is one lentil, and that's the smallest snail that already starts acting and looking like a snail. And we learned from there that instead of the normal shiurin, the shiur of a sheretz is a kadasha, both the gavituma and achila. How would we know that? By learning it out of chometz or chelev or nevela, even in combination. They're all going to be a shiur of achila, of a gezayit. So in order to avoid the problem of dayon, the din would be that in order to know Adasha, we have to learn it dafka from its own pasuk of Hatimeim. Okay, but couldn't we write the din of the Shratzim, and then we'd be able to learn out the Chelev, Chometz, and the Vela from the Shratzim? Now, because we have an obvious reason to say no, they are much more Chomer, as we just said. You need the time, not really mashu, but in comparison to a kesayit, an adasha is just some tiny little bit. So therefore, it's much more chomer. Okay, so we've satisfied that problem. More problems coming up. So what are you going to do about this? Hadatanya, now we're talking about various things that grow from the ground. Tevel, Chodosh, Hegdesh, this could be even any type of Hegdesh, Shviyas, Kilayim, all of these things, if they have liquid, the liquids have the same din as the Achiva. Where do we know that from? Because it doesn't say the same thing over there. I mean, if you're going to tell me we should learn it out from the givens that we now have, V'chitei Melik Mor Mihanach, I would say that there's a big difference. All of the issues that we've spoken about until now, chelev and chametz, nevela and sheretz, they all share one very simple common denominator. They are usser, all on their own. Nobody had to wave Gavi's magic pen and say, I hereby declare thee usser. But all of these issues, you have to make them usser. And it's you who define the status of their isser. And therefore, you can't learn out something that is an Isra Habba Me'elav to the cases that are not Isra Habba Me'elav.
So the words wait be appropriate?
Wait, please wait. So Mala Hanach Shekein Isra Habba Me'elavu. So therefore, the things that you're talking, we have Chelev, Chametz, Nevela, and Sheretz are always going to be Osir. But you've included over here, among this whole group, you included Hegdash. To make something Hegdash requires you. And therefore, we won't know, this Rashi understands, that the Kash is focused only on the thing that requires you to make it us. So, So, okay, I can understand that in any of the cases mentioned before, and those would be things that would be Tevel, Chadash, Shviyas, Kilayim. I understand those happen on their own. But how about where it's Lav Yisra B'Me'elav and it's Hegdash? How about that? Well, we can learn Hegdash from Bikurim. Well, really now, how do we know Bikurim? Or Bikurim Gufayu Midolai. How do we know that liquefied Bikurim are considered to be actually the equivalent of the solid Bikurim. The Tani Rav Yosi, when it says in the Pasuk, V'lakachta mereshit ko peri ha'adama. Now, this may even sound familiar to you this particular week. I wonder why. So, if we're talking about the Lashon of Pri over there, it's telling you you can only bring Peirot. You cannot bring for your Bikurim liquefied Peirot. What if you bring the Peirot and then you liquefy them? Would you be Yotze? So let's say you bring grapes and then you process them into wine, and Durachan. How do we know that that would still be kosher because initially you brought the grape, even though when you put it in front of the Mizbeach, it was already a pretty bottle of wine? How would we know that that's good? Talmud Lomar, that is because, listen to the pasuk, which may again sound familiar, V'lakachta mereshit ko pri ha'adama asher tavi mi'artzecha. Why asher tavi mi'artzecha? V'lakachta mereshit ko pri ha'adama mi'artzecha. Isn't that what you're trying to say? Asher tavi broadens the idea. As long as you brought it as initially as the pri, even if subsequently you turned it into wine, it would still be kosher. That's what that tavi is adding. And therefore, it's a given that they're still called bikurim, even though it's wine. So therefore, if we make a din of all hegdish from bikurim, so then we would say, just like bikurim, even though they were once not hegdish, and you made them into bikurim by saying, areze bikurim, and it says Rashi brings over there, which is that you are going to bring it and say, you take, tie a little thing around it as it's growing, and you say, Hare ze bikuri. Fine. Okay. So then if that's the case, you would say the same thing about Hegdash. If you liquefy something that was Hegdash, it should be considered to be Achila of Hegdash itself, Yubichayav Ameila, and so on. No. I could show you that Bikurim is different. Mala bikurim shekein teunim kriyava hanacha. Of course, bikurim is very special. You have mikra bikurim. You have setting it down in front of the mizbeach. How can you learn out regular hekesh from that? This is very chomer stuff. Okay, so I'll learn it from truma. Well, how do we know truma? How do we know liquefied truma is considered to be an act of achila? Truma gufa minala. Well, truma is compared to bikurim because it says utrumat yadecha, and that pasuk which has all of the things that you're not allowed to eat outside of Yerushalayim, lo tuchal lechol b'sharecha ma'asar degancha v'tirashcha v'yitzarecha uvchorot b'korecha v'tzamecha v'chol nidarecha asher tidor v'nidvotecha utrumat yadecha. That trumat yadecha is a reference to bikurim, which is therefore makish the bikurim to truma. And therefore, in the same way that we just learned that you can bring your wine for the bikurim, and that means that you'd be over on the isra of the achila bikurim if you drank that wine, the same thing would be true of your truma. If you drank the truma, then you would be chayef. So we learn truma out from bikurim. Once we know truma, well, you can't argue, well, truma is chomer because you have to put it in front of the mizbeach. There's no such din. You can't say truma is chomer because there's mikra truma. There is no mikra truma. Therefore, it's not a problem anymore. Ah, but truma itself is a problem because truma itself has a chumra that we do not have in non-truma things, such as even hegdesh, because you're chayavin alea mita v'chomesh, and we don't have that normal din of a chiyav of mita v'dei shamayim there, do we? And if that's the case, if a zar eats truma, he's got to add that payment. And even though it's true that you have to add the chomesh for eating hekdesh, but there's no din of misa bidei shamayim. Okay, you're right. But let's put the two together. Let's put truma together with bikurim and learn it from both of them with a mahatzad. There's a problem. Because there is a common denominator Both of them are chayav alei mita v'chomesh. So you're not going to be able to use them both together. Okay, so where do we learn out hekdesh from? Well, take truma, put it together with one of our stock. What's our stock? I don't know, nevela, chalev, chametz, sheretz, put it together. And then you'll be able to make a mahatzad, because none of the other ones are chayav chomesh and misa. So there you go. Okay, now, what about the Mishnah in Masechet Trumot? Now, over there it says that if somebody, a czar, particularly, I shouldn't say somebody, if a czar eats dvash tamarim, so he eats date honey. What do they call date honey?
Filan.
Filan.
Silan. There you go. Or yein tapuchim, apple cider. Or chomet sitvaniot. Sitvaniot are grapes that never fully mature. And you can't make wine out of them, but you can make vinegar out of them. Or for that matter, any other type of juice. Let's say apple juice, orange juice, and so on. Shar me peirot. In all of these cases, if a czar drinks these things as truma, Rebbe Eliezer is mechayev keren v'chomesh, and Rebbe Yeshua says, no, you're potter. So what exactly is the machlokas over here? What seems to be revolving around the question of liquefied truma? I must tell you that this sugya is very different than the whole Gemara in Brochas, where the Gemara takes for granted that the issue is the question of whether fruit juices are considered to be the actual fruit or whether they're considered to be Zeya Be'alma. That's the way that the Gemara in Brochas talks about it. And according to Rabbi Yeshua, if it's Zeya, you don't make a Brocha on Zeya. Now, this may be a different approach, or it could be that ultimately the determination of Zeya Be'alma is related to the more fundamental question that our Gemara has about the Makor. So our Gemara wants to say that the machlokas between Rabbi Yoshua, who says that liquefied, let's say apple juice, we'll take the case of apple juice. Apple juice is not considered to be a chiyuv of achilas truma by a czar. As Rabbi Eliezer says, it is, and you would be chayiv keren v'chomesh. So what would be the machlokas? And once again, if some of those neurons behind the G show up, the machlokas is don mina umina and don mina v'uki ba'atra. So this is a famous machlokas that we spoke about. When we learn something, we learn A out of Y. And A has a whole set of dinim that is normal for A. And Y has a whole set of dinim that is normal for Y. And we're learning a particular thing out of Y to A that the Torah has compared. How do we view that thing? Do we view that thing in the context of Y, or do we view that thing in the context of A? So for instance, in this case, Rebbe Eliezer holds, don mina, learn it from Y and stick it in the context of Y. So in this case, we're learning out the truma from Bikurim, right? Okay, that was the beginning that taught us that liquefied truma would be chayev. Well, okay. Ma bikurim, mashkin hayotzim yam kamotan, bikurim, any liquid that you'd get out of them, like date juice, is like the bikurim. That's what we learned. Truma too, mashkin hayotzim yam arkamotan. But we could continue to learn this from bikurim. Now, bikurim include the shivat haminim, and therefore it would mean date juice is exactly the same as wine when it comes to bikurim, because dates are one of the shivas haminim, and the liquefaction halacha is a halacha that's true legabe all of those peirot, which include dates. So if we're going to learn it out from bikurim, then just like bikurim includes everything, and we're learning everything out from Y that we're importing into A, so then af truma nami afilu shar minim, that would mean that truma which includes oranges, would include orange juice, the same way that Bikurim includes date juice. Now, this is making light of a problem. And the problem, of course, is there is no such thing as a D'oraisa truma on orange juice, because oranges aren't even chayav in truma. And the only things that are chayav in truma is dafka, the grapes, which we make wine, the olives, from which we make oil, and the grains. So that's dagan tirosh v'yitzar. Truma is limited. However, the chachamim were mechayev us in truma even on oranges. So what we're doing over here is we're making a concept of don mina umina. What would be the din if truma of oranges was a diraita? Well, we would have derived it, according to Rabbi Elazar, from Bikurim. And what would then have been the din? That orange juice would be chayev. Okay, then that's the din. The Rabbanan would pattern it according to what the din would have been had it been a diraita, as they always do. And therefore, the orange juice is learned from the date juice of Bikurim. And now we have a czar who drinks orange juice has to pay the chomesh fine. Whereas Rabbi Yoshua says, no, you learn it from Y, but then you put it into the context of the set of A. So here is where we would say, don mina, okay, what's the mina? Well, the mina is Y, Bikurim. Just like Bikurim, Mashkenai, Otsi, Meyam, Kamotan. Anything that you squeeze out of them has the same din. So too, anything that you squeeze out of the truma, the mashkin would be chayiv. But, ukibatra, you don't put it into the context of the set of Y's, which includes date juice. You put it into the context of the set of A's, which does not include date juice. And it has to be like truma. Just like by truma, we're talking about only mashkin that are kodesh with truma. What's that? Wine and oil. Nothing else. No other liquids are included. So tirosh v'yitzar, oh yes, yes, wine and oil, absolutely. But midei achrina lo, nothing else would be included. So to benogea, the dinim of mashkin that come out of truma, oranges? No, 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 no. Uki batra means the set of truma, and therefore only tirosh v'yitzar, wine, oil, yes. Orange juice, no. Midei achrina lo. And therefore boils down to the good old question of don mina umina. Now, what about the Mishnah in Trumot? There it says, Ein mevi'in bikurin mashke, ela hayotze min hazeitim umina anavi. So here, if you brought the pre, and then you turned it into a liquid, you cannot bring it to the Mizbeach unless it's wine or oil, which would mean you cannot bring date juice, even though you brought originally dates. So why is that? Didn't we just say that we're being marba from the extra pasuk of the Tavi, that you can even squeeze your Bikurim? And in the context of Bikurim, that includes squeezing your dates. So what would be the basis of saying you can only bring wine and oil if you squeezed your Bikurim? Whose shita is that? Mani. It's different from what we just said before, and it's going according to Rabbi Yeshua. We just had Rabbi Yeshua saying that don mina v'uki batra. Learn it from Y, Bikurim, and apply it to A, truma. And therefore, even though we have a hekesh, we are limited to learning the din of liquefaction specifically to wine and oil, right? Now, because the hekesh is bidirectional, now you have to go and apply the truma to the bikurim, because it's shrumat yadecha. And therefore, we learn out bikurim from truma. Just like truma is limited to tirosh v'yitzar as the only liquids that you can actually call the truma, so to the bikurim, if you turn them into liquids before bringing them to the mizbeach, it's limited due to the hekesh to truma to dafka, oil, and wine. But date juice ruins your bikurim. You have to now be actually do without your mikra bikurim. Okay, what about another case that we didn't mention? I noticed you talked about all of this stuff about Tevel and things like that, but what about Orla? How about the Mishnah that tells me that when it comes to Orla, this Mishnah is also in Trumas, though, when it comes to Orla, it says, Ein sofkim et arba'im mishum Orla, you will not be chayev malchus for drinking Orla apple juice. You'll only be chayev for drinking wine or eating oil. Ela ala yotzei min hazeitim u'min ha'anavim. Where do we get that from? Rabbi Yoshua. That is Rabbi Yoshua who said, as we just learned, Don mina v'uki batra. So Rabbi Yoshua learned out Bikurim from Truma. Remember, in the bidirectional Hekesh, right? And then he learns out Exera Shava, because in both Orla and Bikurim, the Torah uses the word pre-bedavka. We saw already before where it's called pre, we saw by Bikurim. And by Orla, it says, Varal Tamaralto et Pirio. And therefore, pre teaches us the same halacha that is definitive of liquids of Bikurim, that is the Hekesh that defines pre by Bikurim as referring specifically the Tavi of the pre, specifically to the oil and the wine. Now goes and defines the Orla in exactly the same way. So even though you'd be chayev for eating an apple, you won't be chayev for drinking an apple juice. And that is our interesting close of the sugya of liquefaction and solidification, which we've gone through in many different ways today. We've spoken about Orla and Bikurim and Hegdesh and Tevel and Shrutzim and Chametz BePesach and Nevela and Chelev and Dam, all in one brief daf yomi. Amazing, absolutely amazing. We've seen that Nefesh, when it applies in the concept of Yom HaKippurim, leads to a different shir of Kotevet. We spoke about the halacha of not being able to be Mitzarif, elements of different shiurim, which would normally be Achila and Shtia. We've learned that when the ikur in the Torah is the Yisra Achila and you turn it into a liquid, that then it would still have the shear of the Kezias. We spoke about Archimedes and saluted to all of the Chachomim Lefneinu. See you, Bezrat Hashem.